On the second Sunday of Lent, the church gives us this reading of the Transfiguration as a point of meditating as we continue our journey through Lent, through this 40-day retreat of Lent. And the story of the Transfiguration is kind of an odd one. You know, you go along throughout the gospel, and then you come to the story of the Transfiguration, and you know, you think, okay, well, Jesus revealed his glory to the apostles. That's great. And then you kind of move along. And if you just stay at that surface level, you miss so much of what's taking place in this gospel passage. And the thing about the fathers of the church is that, you know, when they would read every single passage of Scripture, the story of the Annunciation, the story of Mary visiting Elizabeth, the story of, I mean, you name it, yes, there was an event that happened, but they would say there's always something being taught, always something deeper being conveyed. But you have to be able to dig down a little bit to reach that. And so for the Transfiguration, yes, there is an aspect, there's an element of Christ revealing himself. But there's also a lot of little nuances that you have to pay attention to catch. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up a mountain. So I remember asking as a kid, why didn't he just, you know, go into the middle of the synagogue and have the Transfiguration there? Like on a busy Sabbath morning, go in the synagogue so everyone in Jerusalem could see, and then it would be undeniable. Everyone would know, okay, this Jesus guy, he's not just healing people and performing miracles. There truly is something about him. You know, his face became dazzling, his clothing became dazzling, and his face was radiating light. You couldn't deny that. There's actually a reason. There's something that this gospel tells us about the way God communicates with us because of the fact that he just took Peter, James, and John. It has to do with intimacy. It has to do with closeness, relationship, of God taking us away by ourselves to be with him and teaching us something about himself and that small, personal, quiet, intimate relationship, that setting. Think about it. Think about, for those of you who are married or maybe you're dating someone, when you first met that other person, remember how that the process kind of evolved, right? When you first met them, you might have been a little bit nervous. You know, what do they think about me? What are they, you know, what if I say the wrong thing? You know, but as your relationship kind of developed, you know, so maybe you started going off in groups. You met, you know, might have met them in a group of friends. But eventually, as your relationship develops, there's something where you want to be alone with them. You want to, you know, go for a walk and to be able to talk and to express things one-on-one in an intimate relationship. That's how God communicates with us, personally, intimately. And if you look throughout the story, throughout the Old Testament, one of the main images that God uses to convey his relationship with the people of Israel was a husband and a wife. This intimacy, I wish you to be my bride, to be drawn, to come away with me, that I can know you and you can know me. This aspect of intimacy, of being drawn and set apart. And even in this gospel, the going up the mountain is a place of encounter. The mountain is different than the plains. The mountain is somehow between heaven and earth. It's not earth in the sense that, you know, there's not fields and prairies and flowers. There's something different. It's set apart. But it's not quite heaven either, because there's a plateau, there is a summit, there's a zenith, right? So it's kind of in between heaven and earth. It's the place of encounter. Think of all the stories of the Old Testament, you know, where the ark itself, when it landed on the mountain. When the law was given to Moses, it was given on the mountain. It was a place to come and meet God, to encounter the Almighty. And so here Jesus takes the apostles by themselves in a small group and reveals something about himself to them. They'd seen his miracles. Just a couple of verses before this, Peter is when Peter proclaims, when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God." And then immediately after that, they go up the mountain. He says, "Let me show you. Let me show you." A lot of us deal with a lot of doubt, you know, and I remember the same thing. Why didn't he just do the transfiguration in the synagogue? Why doesn't he just rip the clouds open above New York City with the cameras rolling and say, "Hey, I'm God, I'm here, I exist, it's real"? Wouldn't that be so much easier? Yes and no. There would be something about that. Like the faith, it would be undeniable. But there is an element of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And if you want to get to know God, you have to be willing to be taken away, to be drawn away in a closeness and intimacy, specifically through prayer. And for us here in 2016 at Blessed Sacrament Church, that takes a very specific, a very blessed form that we are blessed to have, and that is our Adoration Chapel. For those of you who have a regular Adoration Hour, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a time of being away. It's a time of encounter, a time where God speaks to us. Unlike anything else, even in many ways, unlike the Mass. Time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, a quiet holy hour, maybe in the middle of the night when you're the only one there, there's something you receive. God reveals himself to you. And even in this story, in this gospel, there are many elements of the Eucharist that are present, that are kind of hidden. I mean, think about it. Think about what is there in front of the apostles the whole time. It's now made manifest. What's been hidden is now brought to light. Jesus Christ was there with them before. He was the Son of God before. But now the glory that was there is revealed. The curtain is pulled back. How much more so with the Eucharist? That we see the piece of bread, we taste the wine. But the reality is there in front of us. But it takes time to uncover it. It takes time to be able to receive that, the fullness of that reality. And even Peter, when he's, you know, kind of stupefied and he says, you know, "Lord, it's good that we are here. Let me make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Pope Benedict, when he was doing his commentary on this, he kind of followed some of the other commentators who saw in this a reference to the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, or in the Hebrew, it's a Sukkoth. The Feast of Tabernacles. It's the feast that they celebrate at the end of the fall, at the end of the harvest season. When they bring in the wheat, it's a festival of thanksgiving. There are Eucharistic overtones here. These tabernacles, these booths that they set up. And it's a way of reminding them of their journey back when they were in the desert for 40 years. They lived in tents and they traveled like nomads from place to place. And so they would remember that, the Jewish people would remember that by this Feast of Tabernacles. But they would also, and even to this day, Orthodox Jews will set up a tent in their backyard out of sticks and twigs or whatever, and they'll stay out there. Some of them will actually sleep out there. Some will just spend the afternoon out there or eat dinner out there or whatever. But there again, it's a place of remembering that it's a feast of remembering the harvest, the wheat, and this place of we are pilgrims, right? So if the Transfiguration is the first revelation of the Eucharist, or not the first, but one of the revelations of the Eucharist, we say today the Eucharist is the source and the summit of the Christian life, right? The source and the summit. But what does that mean? Well, think about an hourglass. Consider an hourglass, right? And again, the mountain, it's so perfect, the correlation here. The source, meaning the lowest point that heaven comes to earth, it almost touches earth, the lowest it comes to us, comes down in the Eucharist because it's God made present. And it's the summit, It's the highest point, the zenith of our praise that we can offer to God. The praise, the worship, the thanksgiving that we offer back to God. The highest form of an act of worship is the Eucharist. The closest thing that we can offer to God, the highest point of that mountain is the Eucharist. So what God brings to us and what we bring to God, and in that intersection is the Eucharist. In that intersection is Jesus Christ and the Transfiguration, revealing the deeper truth of his nature, the glory that's been present all along but hidden. Brothers and sisters, Lent is a time of encountering God. It's a time of trying to recognize doubts, fears. Do I even believe this that God exists? Do I believe the Eucharist? Do I know why I believe what I believe? Do I want that deeper relationship with God? Am I tired of just, you know, coming to church because it's the thing to do on a Sunday morning, but not having that kind of personal relationship with God? The closeness, the intimacy. We are offered a point of reflection today in this gospel to allow God to speak to us. As the Father spoke out from the cloud, "This is my chosen Son, listen to him." He's speaking to you now. He's always speaking. Let's listen and recognize that voice. Maybe take some extra time during Lent and actually go to the Adoration Chapel. Maybe if you have an hour, find 15 minutes on your way home from work just to hear what he has to say. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him."